After going through the All-22 film of the Chicago Bears' win over the Houston Texans, I came away a little bit less concerned about Justin Fields than I was the first time watching it through. We're not going to pretend everything was great, but there were some positives to build on, and it wasn't quite as catastrophic as it first looked.
You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook. Join the Locked On Bears Facebook group for even more Bears talk, and make sure you hit that subscribe button on the Locked On Bears YouTube channel to keep up with all of our video podcasts as well. Thanks for making the Locked On Bears podcast your first listen today. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with our promo code LOCKEDON. That's prizepicks.com, promo code LOCKEDON. We're going to go through what we learned from the coach's film going back through Justin Fields' throws and his runs, his scrambles against the Houston Texans. We'll look at some of the good, some of the things to build off. We'll look at some of the bad and some of the reasons why, the issues behind it, and how they may or may not be fixable or how fixable they might be, is the better way to say it. And we'll wrap up by looking at what the Bears coaching staff can do better, do differently to help Justin Fields a little bit more, not just the coaching staff, but his teammates as well, and how the whole offense around him needs to best operate in order to promote his success and the success overall of the Bears passing game. But let's start with the good, because you know, it felt a little bit few and far between on the first watch through, but going through the All-22 tape, there was plenty of good to still build off of. Of course, you know, we knew 8 completions for 106 yards. The stat line is not great, but that there would be, you know, at least 8 throws in there where, you know, he's hitting his intended receiver for a completed pass. And it wasn't all just, you know, screens and checkdowns in there as well. Like, you know, the first pass of the game, he hits a nice crossing route from the backside. I don't remember which wide receiver it was, but you know, under I formation, play action, roll him out to the right, and he hits the guy over the middle of the field, sort of the middle level of that read. And that was really a big theme of how the Bears were calling this game, a lot of play action rollouts like that for him. And of course, you know, we'll get into some of the times it wasn't great there, but we were able to see him fire in some tight windows and make some nice reads at times in this game. You know, there was a play in the fourth quarter that really stood out to me where it's play action, and he drops back and fires an absolute dart over the middle to Darnell Mooney. He's running a deep curl route. And you can see, especially from the All-22 angle, the end zone view, it's like inches from the outstretched arm of the underneath linebacker in coverage. And it took quite a bit of arm strength and quite a bit of perfect timing to be able to fit it in there without it being a pass breakup, or certainly if he had been significantly later, could have been a potential interception in there. But he's got the arm strength and the arm talent, and we've seen that from him before. We've seen him be accurate and hit those types of windows on downfield passes in the past, and he was able to do so on that play. You know, there's always room for nitpicking those kind of things, but there was the showcasing of that arm talent being able to overcome. Maybe you want to throw the ball a little bit sooner, or maybe other receivers could have been more open on the play, but he hits it, he delivers it. It's a first down, it's his first read, and he's hitting it where he is supposed to and moving the chains that way. Really felt like there were a few plays in this game where he was able to adjust what he was doing to still get a good pass off. You know, there was one where they were in the shotgun, I think it was a 3-by-1, and they're running, all 4 players are running slants, and he steps up and like starts to deliver and pump fakes to his left and ends up turning back towards the middle of the field and kind of bending his arm and his body around the offensive line and kind of sidearming it into Cole Kmet. A very, very difficult throw, but a smart read. If he, you know, if he throws that first slant like he was looking at, you know, it was underneath zone coverage and it may have been intercepted. But, you know, at that point in the game, having been intercepted twice, whether it was in his mind or whether he just, you know, it was just building some confidence back, like he knew not to just try and force that quick one in there, but look back to the other side and see he had Cole Kmet working the opposite side of the field. And I think they got, you know, 18, 19 yards, 16 yards it was on that type of play. And it's a very difficult type of throw for a quarterback to make. And you have to adjust and really kind of, you know, bend your body in ways that most quarterbacks can't make that type of throw from that type of a platform. And I think throughout the game, we saw how much his legs were able to help himself in the passing game. That, yes, on the plays when he scrambled, and we'll get into at times when the scramble feels, I don't know, unnecessary feels like a strong word, when he picks up 7 or 10 yards, because you're picking up the first down, is it unnecessary? No, but when he scrambles on plays that he maybe should have stuck with and thrown the ball, the fact that he's able to still get the type of yardage he does in the ground game is pivotal to the success of this Bears offense. That I think, you know, if Justin Fields had the same passing success and struggles that he's had up to this point in the season, but you took away the mobility, you know, if he was more of a statuesque quarterback that didn't have the type of legs that he does, I think the Bears would probably be 0-3 at this point, because there have been enough of those situations where the pass isn't there and he takes off with his legs. And if he didn't have those legs to take off, that the drive ends right there and the Bears don't get points compared to those drives continuing and them getting 3 or 7 later on. I really think his legs have been a major contributing factor there toward two wins that wouldn't necessarily have been there without his legs. But there was one rollout later in the game where I think the Texans were getting a little used to Justin Fields scrambling on some of these plays. And so as he's rolling out to his right, you can see he takes more of a north-south angle to try and get to the line of scrimmage. And it pulls in two of the coverage defenders and leaves the space behind them. And I think it's Equanimeous St. Brown. He hits on another sort of crossing route for coming from the backside of the play. And you could see like his threat of the run affected the coverage because they were just assuming he was going to scramble again. But he sort of, I don't think he was intending, he didn't like tuck the ball, right? But he still sort of like gave that sort of like lean and those, that more downhill acceleration, not just rolling towards the sideline, but turning and getting upfield just enough to kind of bait those coverage defenders up a little bit more so he could throw it over the top and a little bit behind them to Equanimeous St. Brown for a nice play. So there are moments in there where he's making the right types of reads and the right types of throws. I mean, really great read to Cole Kmet on one of his deep crossing routes. Of course, hit Darnell Mooney a couple times in this game too. Collectively, of course, not good enough. Not enough passing that the Bears needed. They needed more consistency from Justin Fields. But it wasn't all bad. And there was moments to like in this game and things that he can build off of moving forward. Still a lot to not like. And some themes, I think, were coming up over and over again in the types of mistakes Justin Fields was making. We'll kind of go through those themes, and then we'll look at what the Bears can do from a coaching staff, from a play calling, from a personnel, from a receiver standpoint to try and help Fields through these troubles and get his game more back on track next on Locked On Bears. This episode of Locked On Bears is brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks. They are the better, easier, more fun way to do daily fantasy sports, because you're not competing against other people. It's you against the house. They put out their Prize Picks projections, and you just pick your 2 to 5 players and whether they'll score more or less than their projection. And you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. It's really, I think it's a fun spin on daily fantasy, and I encourage you to check it out. There's projections on not just the Bears, not just pro football, but any sport that you watch. Upcoming for the basketball season, the hockey season, baseball is with the playoffs right around the corner here, golf, tennis, soccer, the college football, college basketball, you name it, they have it at Prize Picks. Entries are super quick and easy to make. You can get your money out safe and fast when you do cash in, and it's currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with our promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. You deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Just don't forget that promo code locked on at signup for that instant deposit match up to $100. We talked on yesterday's podcast about how, you know, both of Justin Fields' interceptions were not bad reads, just poor throws, right? Poor execution, poor delivery of the football, but not a poor decision. That in both cases, an accurate, well-timed, well-delivered pass is complete. And it's not just like he misread the coverage and didn't see what the defense was doing and made a mistake that way. And the All-22 pretty well confirmed that for me, that the, you know, the interception to Cole Kmet, he's wide open. It's the right read. It's the right place to go. Fields takes his time seeing and delivering the ball, and he sails it to sort of lead Cole Kmet, but really he needed to just put it right on Cole Kmet. And you can see Kmet even like slow down a half step because he's expecting the ball to just kind of come to him instead of being like over the top and in front for him to run under because the safeties are over top. And when I look at that play, it touches on one of the general themes we were seeing from Fields' inaccuracy that it makes sense when you start to think about it a little bit, like why all of a sudden was Fields inaccurate on some of these downfield throws that he's generally been fairly accurate on through his career up to this point. And it really does come down to his footwork. I mean, Matt Eberflus said it. You watch his feet and like that Cole Kmet interception, he steps like way too wide and opens up his hips and steps too far to the left. I'm not to get too deep into the weeds of quarterback mechanics here, and I'm by no means am I a quarterback training mechanics guru expert in any way, but generally speaking, when you're on a platform throw like this, you want your shoulders and your hips and your feet, you know, in aligned vertically, but you want to be then perpendicular to your target, right? You want to be looking and have like from your right shoulder to your right-handed, you know, you put a line from your right shoulder to your left shoulder, extending all the way to the target that you're throwing towards, and your feet and your hips should match that. So you're stepping in sort of in stride that way. Fields is stepping too wide. So he's opening up his hips too much, stepping essentially too far to the left so that his feet are pointing to the left of where he's trying to throw. And as a result of your hips opening up too much, the rotational velocity that you get from your core turning when you throw is not, it's not like you're not getting that snap. And I think that's why that pass and the pass to Darnell Mooney sailed. The physics of it, again, I don't want to get too in the weeds here, but like when your step is more condensed and it's tighter and it's in the direction you're supposed to, you're finishing the full rotation of your torso and getting the closing velocity of that. Whereas when your legs are wider apart, your hips are more open, you know, you're letting go of the ball before you finished the full turn of your torso. So you're not getting as much of that core strength into the throw. And that's why the ball sails on those types of throws. And it's because Fields' footwork on both of those interceptions were similar, where he's not stepping forward into it. He's stepping to open up his feet. We saw Mitch Trubisky do this at times in his Bears career as well. And it's just part of this sort of process. And I think in a game like this, maybe he's pressing a little bit. I mean, I don't know what led him to the footwork being a little sloppy on those throws and a couple of other throws, but it seemed like more of a consistent theme on the purely inaccurate passes, which there weren't very many. I mean, the two interceptions were kind of the big ones. There was a missed screen to Treston Ebner that I think that's just a rookie running back and a quarterback not being on the same page. There were a couple others where you can look at his feet and say, yeah, like he has some space. Maybe it's not a lot of space, but has enough space. It's not that he's getting hit as he's throwing these balls. He has enough space to step in with proper footwork and deliver that ball. And I think in both cases, if his feet are a little bit more aligned and a little bit more tight, he's able to complete those passes for big completions. And instead, they go for interceptions. And sometimes those little things can be that big of a difference for the quarterback. The other thing that kept standing out to me was when he was just not pull the trigger on routes that he seemed to be seeing. And I think in some cases, he gets a little bit too scared of the pressure too quickly, where it's like he's looking for the ball and you can see him like start to take his hand off the ball, like he's going to pull the trigger on it a little bit. Like he sees it and he knows it's going to be open and he thinks he can fire the ball in there, but he feels that, you know, the offensive line in front of him maybe is, the pocket is starting to collapse. It's not that there's a free rusher coming at him, but just that, you know, his his left guard, his left tab, and it's not always the same spot, but, you know, especially when it's directly in front of him, if he can feel that getting a little closer than you'd like in my opinion, on a lot of those, I think he could step up, and if he pulls the trigger when he first reacts like he's ready to throw the ball, he's got the time. Like, he can get it off. He might end up taking a little bit of a hit or a little bit of a bump afterward, but I don't think it would be like, I don't think it would affect the accuracy of the throw. And I do want him to stay in there and deliver some of those throws, because it's not like it's the check down that he's not stepping into, right? But it's like there's open receivers running, not deep downfield, but, you know, especially a lot of like intermediate, some of those corner routes to the sideline. He's looking at it. He can step and just throw it. Like, just, it's there. Throw it. It's like he doesn't, I don't know if it's not that he doesn't fully trust what he's seeing, or if he just doesn't trust being able to step up and into that throw and is worried about being hit and that ball then being, you know, interceptable. That if he tries to step into that throw and the offensive lineman or the pass rusher hits him a half second sooner than he anticipates they will, and then that ball then really is inaccurate because he was hit as he's thrown, and that puts the ball in harm's way. Like, is he too worried about not turning the ball over in those cases? Or does he trust his legs too much in some of those cases? Because it's great that he can scramble for 29 yards on one of those plays. But on that play that he scrambled for 29 yards, he had an open receiver. And, like, it, you know, you kind of want him to just hit the throws. And, like, the legs are great, and it keeps these plays alive, it keeps these drives alive, and it's part of the reason the Bears are 2-1. And you don't want to complain about the plays that he's able to scramble on those, but, like, it feels like you need to be able to hit those passes for more sustained offensive success, instead of that being those scrambles, because those scrambles sometimes result in sacks. I think there were a couple of plays that were clearly offensive line sacks, but I think at least two of them were more Justin Fields sacks, where he has something and could throw it, or he tries to escape and extend something with his legs that just didn't need to, could just step right in the pocket and deliver on the ball. Like, that's the thing. Like, on some of those passes where the receivers are open, even if he doesn't feel like in that exact spot he could deliver that ball, you don't need to go to full scramble mode, right? Can you just step up or step to the right, then step into the throw, right? It doesn't have to be the full extend the play by rolling out, because by the time you start that rollout motion, the receivers finish their routes and then it's a scramble drill again and people aren't open. But it's got to be, it's all about being the timing and in rhythm. And that's what Justin Fields has not been much this season, and definitely was not in much against the Texans. They're not getting him into a quarterback rhythm where it's at the bottom of his drop. You know, he gets to his drop, hitch and throw. He's double hitching sometimes, or he's kind of just not, he's not seeing it and delivering on it when he can. And too often the balls are coming out just a little bit late, or he's double hitching and not taking, not just delivering with that type of conviction coming out of his drop back. And that's what needs to speed up. That's what needs to be better from Justin Fields. And I think there's more that the Bears offense can do to help that situation. Some of it's just going to take time, but I think Luke Getsy and the play calling can do some things a little bit differently in the passing game. Not that they're sabotaging him or they're the reason he hasn't been successful, but I think they can do more to work on these specific issues he might be facing right now. We'll go into some of the game plan and play calling stuff, maybe some of the things from the receivers as well that should be able to help Justin Fields improve and get this passing game going a little bit more. Next on Locked On Bears. There's no magic formula to unlocking Justin Fields. And Luke Getsy, I think, has been doing a lot of good things, or at least a lot of things that generally could or should work and are worth trying with your quarterback. But I think we're getting to the point now where we need to fine-tune some of these things just a little bit more to be more specific to exactly what Justin Fields needs at this moment, right? So, like, the Bears run a ton of play action and a ton of rollouts. And that's exactly what we were looking for Justin Fields. It's what Matt Nagy didn't do enough. It's what all offseason Bears fans have been clamoring for. Yes, move the pocket, use his legs, more play action, help your quarterback. And those are all true things that, yes, moving the pocket is good for Justin Fields. Play action is good for Justin Fields. Play action, generally speaking, helps quarterbacks. It makes defenses bite on the run defense a little bit more and leaves more space behind the linebackers. And Justin Fields has been able to take advantage of that. And the rollouts can cut the field in half and make the reads easier for the quarterback. It's just vertical all in front of you. One, two, three. You have the option to run. Like, these are all true things. But I think the Bears, I don't want to say they're doing too much play action, but I just think there needs to be, I don't know, there needs to be some consideration to maybe doing less play action, or maybe just mixing up the type of play action that they're doing, and maybe especially the rollouts, I think, could use a little bit more variety. And so, like, I'm careful to try not to be nitpicky here, because we don't want to overcorrect and go back to the Matt Nagy style of just trying to force him to be a three-step drop, quick-strike quarterback, dink and dunk kind of guy, because that's not who he is. You do want to roll out sometimes, and you do want to play action quite a bit. And, like, those are all things you want to do, but it just felt like against the Houston Texans, especially by the second half, they were pretty aware of, like, yeah, he's probably going to play action and roll out. And it felt like the Bears kept going to a lot of the same kinds of rollouts, and that the passing game, like, didn't have as much, I don't know, creativity is quite, because there were creative aspects of it, and they did mix up things at times, but it ended up being similar enough for the defense, the way Fields was playing the reads, that I just would like to see a little bit more variety. That so often the play action rollouts under center in particular are some combination of, you know, if whether he's rolling to his right or his left, but let's, for this hypothetical, first of all, for the most part, it's rolling to his right, which of course for a right-handed quarterback is going to be easier, and it can be tricky to roll to his left, and I do understand that, but like most of the plays were some combination of under center, turn, show outside zone to the left, roll out, rolling to his right, and you have one receiver from the backside of the play running an intermediate crossing route about, you know, 10 yards downfield. You have then a player in the flat, usually a tight end, just sort of as the underneath checkdown route. And then, you know, your other wide receiver to the right side of the field that he's rolling towards is running some sort of vertical route just to sort of clear out space. Maybe it'll be a deep corner or some kind of just seam route up the middle that's not usually going to be open because they're just trying to take away the top end of the coverage is going to be on that side of the field. So then it's just a high-low read between the crossing route from the backside and the underneath player from the front side as a checkdown or an intermediate hit. And he hit a couple of those. But like after a while, it felt like the Texans linebackers, you know, as soon as he rolls out, they're looking like, okay, the crossing route's going to be coming behind me. Let me get there. And the checkdown guy is going to be in front of them. Get there. And that they would have those guys covered. And then Fields is a little bit left with not great options. And you know, they had some different variations in there. So I don't want to say that it was like all that and there was no creativity. Like, for example, at some point, they're going to hit a big play to Kari Blasingame, the fullback. It's going to be there. They ran the same play twice. The first play of the game that he hit the crossing route, and then they came back to it in the fourth quarter, one of the last passing plays of the game, the exact same play call. I formation, turn, play action to what was Montgomery and then Herbert. And the fullback Blasingame from the I formation runs a deep wheel route. So he runs towards the sideline and then turns upfield. And on that last pass of the game, he was open. He blew by the linebacker, and you had a fullback wheel route that might have been a touchdown. Of course, the Texans blitzed on that play. The safety came over and sacked Justin Fields as he was turning around on his rollout. But, like, it's going to be there. So, like, there are aspects of that. But I just think across the board, you combine that with – there's a number of plays where it's sort of like two route concepts on either side of the formation. It'll be – you know, stick on this side and slants on that side, or it'll be a spot on this side and, you know, curl flat on that side or whatever it might be. And it's one of these plays where it's like pre-snap, Fields reads the coverage, and based on the pre-snap look, he's picking a half of the field and reading the concept over there and kind of ignoring what's over to the left because he doesn't have time to do that. There's two separate reads. It's not like a full field read where you go from the right to left, you know, your first receiver is on the right, your second receiver is going over the middle, your third receiver is on the left, and your fourth is on the deep left, or your fourth is the check down, right, where you're really scanning the full field. They were mixing in some of these, like, plays that are just split in half, and pre-snap, you're picking a half, and you live and die by what happens on that half. And I really think Justin Fields needs more, like, pure open field read progression type plays, which sounds more difficult, but I think for Fields, I think it's better for him right now. Not that you want to do all that, but I think it's something that he needs to be able to have that, to go through that progression and really trust what he's seeing, because I think sometimes his options get too limited on the rollouts and on the half field, you know, sort of split concept plays, that it's not there, and then he has to scramble, and then the pocket is breaking down. And when you can give him more of a full field read, like, he's reading the coverages correctly. Like, that's what I keep coming back to. It's like he's not having trouble determining what the play is and where the ball should go. He's having trouble trusting that he can get the ball there and has the time in the pocket to do so and can deliver the ball at that, you know, in time to that player. And it's not that he doesn't trust his arm. It's that he trusts, I think, his ability to hit the timing. You know, am I seeing it early enough? Will it still be open by the time I can get the ball there? Can I step up and deliver this throw? Do I really fully trust what I'm seeing? He should trust it because he's right. And so I think if you can give him as many of those plays where he can read it right, it speeds up that process even more, because it's not the same read, and you don't have to trust as much when it's these half field reads and these rollouts. So, like, I almost, you don't want to take the kid gloves off completely. You don't want to open it up entirely, because, you know, in order to go through a full field read like that, you need good pass, you need at least better pass protection, and you need time for your quarterback to throw, and you need receivers to get open. But receivers are generally getting open on those plays, and it's just about him finding the right timing and being able to deliver the ball in there and getting in rhythm. And let's get more of those types of rhythm throws and not just roll them out, right? And not just half field decisions, right? Let him work a little bit, let him build up to it a little bit more. And I think that can really help him accelerate some of these challenges. Still need to clean up the footwork, right? The pocket presence and being able to trust that is something that's going to take some time and some reps to do so. And it's not just going to be fixed instantly by giving him more of those full progression reads. But it's like, I don't know, it just felt a little stale, especially early on in that game. Like, pass by pass, first play, I formation, play action, roll to the right. Second play, empty backfield, wide receiver screen. Third pass, empty backfield. That was one where he ends up scrambling for 29, but had open receivers. Then they're back to play action, roll right. Then I formation, play action, max protect pass. Then I formation, play action, max protect pass, right? Like, they end up going to a lot of the same types of plays. And I want just a little bit more of a variety from the passing offense. And I understand that they don't want to put too much on Justin Fields' plate and that they're worried about giving him too much and that might contribute to the options. But I think we could start to dial it just a little bit and let him have more plays with more receivers running routes, because the offensive line generally was giving him enough time. I'm not going to say they were great. They were probably, you know, five or six passing plays out of the Bears, when you combine 17 pass attempts and five sacks plus a couple of scrambles there, if we may call it maybe 25 passing plays, maybe there were four or five where the pressure was too fast from the offensive line. And that's still too many overall, but that leaves you maybe 20 other passing plays where he had a receiver open and had enough time to get the ball to that receiver and needs to trust the play, trust the throw, and step up, fire, and deliver that ball. And so that's why I say, like, it's passable offensive line play. He's not maximizing the amount of pass protection he's getting. The pass protection can and should be better, needs to be better overall, but he's also not making the most out of the pass protection he has gotten on those plays. And so it's not simple enough to blame receivers not getting open. Sometimes receivers are not getting open. There are those plays. There are usually plays when a receiver is open and he's usually seeing it. He's just not throwing the ball. The offensive line is giving him most of the time good enough protection. There are plays when it's not good enough protection, and those are very real and limit some of what the Bears can do. But most of the time, it's mostly there. He's got the running game. He's got, generally speaking, good enough defense. And so it feels like the pieces are there for this to start to come together, but Justin's got to get on top of it, keep that confidence and trust what he sees and deliver that ball and work on the pocket presence. Hopefully that gives you a better sense of what happened on Sunday. The All-22 film is always very enlightening for me, and I hope to be able to pass off some of those observations and sort of knowledge points from this tape. I hope you learned something on the podcast when we do these All-22 breakdowns. If you do, make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening to Lockdown Bears. That way you're keeping up with all of our daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Little programming note for you. Tomorrow's podcast is going to be a little bit late. We're going to be joined by Mark Schofield, friend of the show, now an NFL writer for SB Nation, putting together a big piece on Justin Fields. And we're going to talk about bigger picture quarterback development. you know, what we should expect from Fields, what other quarterbacks have been through. I really want to get that outside perspective on someone who studies quarterbacks, but it's not going to be any kind of, you know, Bears or Justin Fields biased. If anything, I think he's pro Justin Fields, if you were going to look for a bias in him. But I think we'll have a really insightful conversation about quarterback development in general, what you can teach, what you can't teach, what's easy to fix, what's hard to fix, what an offense should and shouldn't be doing around him. So make sure you come back for that. But we're going to record it. Usually I record the podcast the night before. We're going to record that one Wednesday morning, and I'll get it out Wednesday as soon as possible, but it's just not going to be there when you first wake up in your podcast feeds on Wednesday. So I appreciate the patience, but still tune into that episode. It's going to be a lot of great stuff to learn there. Then we'll talk to Patricia Traina from Locked On Giants for our Crossover Thursday podcast. We'll put together a game plan for Friday's podcast on how to beat the Giants, and all of it should be excellent opportunities for you to bear down.